The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The Baltimore Ravens select Jason Owe. The Arizona Cardinals select Zaven Collins. The Carolina Panthers select J.C. Horn.
I never see those in advance, Shireen. And as that was building, I had my fingers crossed that the kicker would be Milton Williams, selected by the Philadelphia Eagles, to the sound of crickets in the draft room. Everyone fired up as Howie Roseman took his lap, other than senior consultant Tom Donahoe, who, as Howie explained, guys are passionate, they have players they want, and we got a very real and candid moment. Reality TV for a change with all the cameras on. Cameras are on here and at Shireen's house. It's PFTPM. We're here for the next hour. We're only here for the next 35 minutes because one of the good things about taping interviews in the afternoon, we get to quit early and play the interview. A solid 25 minutes nearly with Rick Spielman coming up later today, the GM of the Vikings, who made a trade in round one, got a quarterback in round three. We'll be talking a lot about Aggie great Kellen Mond, now the new Vikings quarterback, who is not the starter and will not be anytime soon. But
not yet.
If Kirk Cousins stumbles at all, you can imagine they'll be blowing the horn for Kellen Mond.
I told Kellen Mond I was going to get his jersey and put it up here, Mike, because you're going to accept me as a Vikings fan if I get me a Kellen Mond jersey. I assume he's going to be number 11. Right? Is there anybody 11? Who's 11 for the Vikings?
Well, it was Dante Culpepper. I don't think that Dante Culpepper did enough there to have his jersey set aside. It's obviously not retired by the Vikings, but they'll kind of set some numbers aside. They set aside Chuck Foreman for a while. They didn't set aside Randy Moss for very long after either time that he was with the team. But, yeah, I haven't seen the number yet for Kellen Mond, but I wouldn't be surprised if he wears number 11. We'll talk to Spielman about that and plenty of other things Vikings-related, plenty of things in the division. I did ask Rick Spielman an Aaron Rodgers question. You'll hear that coming up, but it's not like, you know, are you going to trade for Aaron Rodgers or sign him after he gets traded somewhere else and cut after 1 year, like with Brett Favre? He's not going to talk about players under contract with another team, but you'll see what I asked him about and what he said. I thought it was interesting. But as it relates to the Packers, obviously it's still the top story in the National Football League. And the 49ers, both in the form of GM John Lynch and head coach Kyle Shanahan, have deviated from what typically is the we don't talk about players under contract with other teams. Here is Shanahan from the Rich Eisen Show earlier today talking about the question of whether the 49ers really did make a phone call. Yes, a phone call last Wednesday night to the Packers inquiring about Aaron Rodgers. Here's Shanahan.
Is it any truth that you called the Packers upon hearing these rumors about Aaron Rodgers to see if that could work out potentially?
Yeah, the exact truth is I don't want to wake up the next day on Friday and see Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks in this league, traded without doing any due diligence on it. So I just called Matt and asked him if there was anything to it. And Matt told me I'd be wasting my time if we had Lynch call. And so Lynch did not call anyone the next day. But yes, I did reach out to Matt the night before and asked him if, hey man, I don't want to wake up the next day and see that Aaron was traded for something, I didn't at least look into it. And so that's what I did with Matt, and he gave me a very quick answer. So I didn't even tell John to call Goody. So I think that was worked out, I guess. We were happy to get our guy, and hopefully it'll work out for them.
Matt, of course, is Matt LaFleur, who used to work with Kyle Shanahan. By the way, that photo is not from high school of Kyle Shanahan. That's from when he took the job with the 49ers, which tells you that coaching the 49ers takes a toll, Shireen. It definitely takes a toll. It accelerates time, as it has for Kyle Shanahan. But I hear that, and it meshes with my theory that this was all orchestrated to the point where the word was leaked out to the 49ers that there's reason to inquire. And I think the Rodgers camp let it be known to the 49ers there's reason to think he could be traded. That's what Shanahan said. I didn't want to wake up Friday morning and see that he'd been traded. They were hearing that something was cooking, so they were the ones to reach out. And then that allowed Rodgers camp to leak that they reached out. I think it was very orchestrated and calculated, and the 49ers were pawns in this effort to pull the ripcord on the 3 days, 4 days now and counting of Aaron Rodgers' news.
Yeah, and Mike, you look back on it, the 49ers could have had Aaron Rodgers back in the day, and they chose Alex Smith instead of Aaron Rodgers, and now here we sit that they admit they had interest in training for him, and it very well makes sense that they could have been pawns in this whole thing. And I don't know where this ends, but it's interesting all these twists and turns that we keep hearing over the last 4 days, which really, frankly, hijacked the draft, because I kept hearing Aaron Rodgers, even as we're hearing Trevor Lawrence go number one, Zach Wilson go number two, even Trey Lance number three to the 49ers. All anyone's talking about is Aaron Rodgers and what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers, Mike.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I believe it was all planned. I thought it was revenge served more frozen than tundra by Aaron Rodgers to have that all come out.
Good line.
The first day of the draft. And I wrote it earlier today. I'm just working my material. I'm seeing how it sounds. I saw how it reads. I wanted to hear how it sounds. The reality is, and this is something I was talking to Sims about earlier today. My understanding is, and I haven't confirmed this yet, haven't written it at PFT, but there were three trips made by one or more of the Packers' brain trust to see Aaron Rodgers this offseason. I don't know when, and I don't know that it was definitely three, but what I've heard so far is it was three. Maybe it was more, maybe it was less, and I don't know when. But when you're taking the coach and or the GM and or the team CEO from Green Bay to California on multiple occasions, and yes, you can multitask, you can work, it's still a disruption and a distraction to your routine, all because Aaron Rodgers commanded their presence so they could work through whatever they needed to work through, and they haven't worked through it yet. And then on top of that, as they're getting ready for the draft and they're settled in for the draft, he drops this bomb on them. And even though they knew there were issues, obviously, the idea that all this came out and they had to deal with it during the draft, that Brian Gutekunst has to deal with the report that Rodgers wants him fired, has to answer questions about the report that Rodgers wants him fired. I mean, this is the busiest time for a GM between the draft and signing undrafted free agents. I just think that the Packers have a right to be as upset with Rodgers as Rodgers is with the Packers for what they did to him last year in drafting Jordan Love without telling him that it was coming. So they're even now. They're even now. And where do we go from here, Shireen? I don't think anybody's going to bend. And one of the realities of not having an owner in Green Bay is there isn't anyone who can show up and say, fix this. And I think this is going to linger. This is going to give us things to talk about and write about for weeks to come. I don't see it ending anytime before training camp opens.
Yeah, and let's break it down, Mike, because it does appear that both sides have their heels dug in, right? And they don't seem willing to give. What would prompt Rodgers to change his mind? I don't see anything at this point. To me, it almost sounds this is too far gone, that not even an extension, not more money, not the job security that he perhaps wanted earlier in the offseason is enough to get him to change his mind. So what would prompt the Packers to change their position? Is it Rodgers not showing up for the offseason program, for training camp, for Week one of the season opener, you know, where does this go from here? Because both teams seem so dug in at this point, Mike, that it's a matter of who gives in first.
I think it's the mindset that the Packers have always applied to their players. It's something that Peter King pointed out, dates back to Ron Wolf. We run the team, you just work here. Don't bother us with wanting to be involved in personnel decisions. Don't bother us with wanting to be involved in managing the team. You just work here. You worry about yourself, we'll worry about us. And hey, look around. Look around the NFL. What happens? The players play until the point where they're no longer good enough to play and they're replaced by someone else, and the wheels keep turning for the NFL via its 32 franchises. That's how it goes. And that attitude, it used to work. Doesn't work anymore. Not with truly great players. Not with players who are realizing they have leverage even when they don't have a contract that has expired or a franchise tag dance like the one that Kirk Cousins had in Washington and the one that Dak Prescott had in Dallas that resulted in a record-setting contract. Rodgers has leverage even though he's under contract for 3 more years, and he's not afraid to use it. And the reality is, I don't think this blows up last week if Rodgers hasn't given the Packers every chance to give him what he wants. And, you know, I heard last week he wants Patrick Mahomes' money. Well, that would explain why he doesn't have a new contract, because my understanding is they have offered him an extension, not just a restructuring, but an extension. Now, the question is, how much of their flexibility does that extension take away? If it continues to be 1 year at a time, it really doesn't solve the problem. See, he wanted them to essentially turn back time, to make it the way it was before Jordan Love was drafted. If that means a contract that means Aaron Rodgers is going nowhere because of the cap hit that would result if they traded him, fine. If that means trading Jordan Love, fine. If that means firing Brian Gutekunst and resetting, fine. I mean, I don't know what specifically he wanted other than at the end of the day, he wanted to feel like they were sorry for what they had done and they had made amends to him in some form or fashion for what they had done. So, okay, pay me like Patrick Mahomes and tie me to the team for the next 3 or 4 years. Well, we can't do that. Okay, trade Jordan Love. Well, we can't do that. Well, fire Brian Gutekunst. Well, we can't do that. I'm not saying he asked for Jordan Love to be traded, but Charles Robinson did report that he wants Gutekunst to be fired. And the Packers aren't going to do any of that, Shireen. So, yeah. You know, do they sit back and wait and see if he's serious? Like the Texans were kind of doing with Deshaun Watson? I mean, they've had 3 months to process this. So I think they want to see how far he'll push it, because I think they believe deep down he's petrified of Packers fans turning on him. That's why one of the things he said to Mike Tirico on Saturday was he loves Green Bay, he loves the fans, he loves the organization. He just has issues with the current management of it. I think he wants to hold on to that fan base and not become what Brett Favre was when Brett Favre landed with the Vikings.
Yeah, and Brett Favre's reputation with Packers fans is now revived, right? He repaired that. So maybe it's not quite what it once was, but I think he repaired that somewhat. But let's back up a little bit, Mike. I think we've seen this movie before, at least one that's similar to it. And I go back, you hit on it. You talk about the Packers treating him as an employee. Like, we value you as an employee, but you're not part of management. We make all the decisions here. We do what we want to do. This reminds me so much of Carson Palmer's situation in Cincinnati, right? And he retired, and they finally figured out he was serious. They drafted Andy Dalton, and they said, all right, he's serious, let's trade him. And they traded him to the Cardinals, and they moved on. I think this could play out the exact same way. But here's the problem, Mike. You've waited so long, if you're going to trade Aaron Rodgers, that let's say he sits out and sits out and sits out. Now all these teams have addressed their quarterback needs. Yeah, you're talking about the Raiders and Broncos still would be interested. I get it. But you're not going to be in that, perhaps that war that you would have been in before the draft, because a lot of teams have addressed their quarterback issues. So if he gets into the season and he's still on the roster and he's not showing up, I mean, at that point, what do you do with the Packers? I think at that point, you have to trade him.
You know, I think you're secretly a Raiders fan. You know why I think that?
Why?
Because I think, like every Raiders fan, you're pretending that the Raiders didn't actually give up multiple first-round picks to get Carson Palmer, because you just glossed right over that and went straight to the Cardinals.
I did gloss. You're right. I forgot about that. You're exactly right.
But Mike Brown's attitude in Cincinnati was let him sit, let him rot. I don't care. And Mike Brown, one of the few owners that would do that. Fine. He don't want to be here? Fine. I don't care. I'll draft his replacement, and he can sit and he can rot. And that's what the Packers, even though they don't have a traditional owner, more on that in a second, but I think that's the mindset they have. And the Bengals just got flat out lucky. Jason Campbell, then the quarterback of the Raiders, breaks his collarbone 2 days before the trade deadline. And whoop, they slap it together. Hugh Jackson wants Carson Palmer, multiple first-round picks, and he gets Carson Palmer, and the Bengals get away out of that mess. Because otherwise, I think Palmer, who knows how long he would have not played football. And I think that with Rodgers, as he's getting so close to the end, I think that's part of where the Packers would call his bluff. You really going to sit out, Aaron, half a year, all a year? You really going to do that when you got 4 years left? Father Time is still going to gain ground on Aaron Rodgers, even if he doesn't play this year. He doesn't get to postpone his full career by a year. He's going to be a year older, and at some point the wheels are going to come off, and I think that's one of the reasons why the Packers will dig in. And I really do believe on this point of not having a traditional owner. You know, in many respects, it's good that you don't have somebody who can roll out of bed, catch a wild hare, be upset that they lost a game, be upset that they missed the playoffs, and turn everything upside down and prevent continuity and have a bunch of buyouts and they fire this coach, they fire this coach. You can't make the owner happy. But in a case like this, there really isn't anyone who can say, enough, I'm fixing this. I'm fixing this now. Here's what I'm going to do. And I have the authority to do it, and I'm willing to do it, and no one can ever hold me accountable for it. See, Mark Murphy's the only one who's got the power to fix this, but he can be held accountable for it later if it blows up, if it's a mess, if they dig in and Rodgers never plays again, they never get anything out of him in return, and that's just it. And it's like, well, you could have gotten something for Aaron Rodgers, could have gotten some draft picks, could have done something. Or if they trade him and he ends up being great somewhere else and they beat the Packers in the playoffs or in the Super Bowl, Murphy eventually could be looking at losing his job if he misplays this. So I think that's going to cause him to take the easy, safe, conservative route that doesn't involve doing something revolutionary, that doesn't involve doing something controversial, and he's going to take his chances because however this plays out, it is going to be potentially held against him, and it is going to affect how much longer he's the CEO of the Packers, and that's why it's important to have an owner who doesn't have to worry about that because Jed York once said, you can't fire the owner, Shireen.
Yeah, you have options here, Mike, but you need somebody to pick that option. It's almost like the Packers have buried their head in the sand. They haven't flown out there, but it's obvious, or it should be obvious to the Packers' brain trust that Aaron Rodgers wants what Aaron Rodgers wants, and we think at this point that he wants out of Green Bay. So burying your head in the sand and saying, well, we're just going to wait for him to show up. What if he doesn't show up? So as an owner, you can fix that. You can decide what the course of action is, and they almost seem like they're not picking any course of action except, hey, let's just sit on our hands. Let's just wait. At some point, he'll show up and we'll go on and he'll play this season as a defending MVP. And then we can decide after the season what we do with him. Well, if he doesn't show up, that changes everything for the Packers. And again, it may be too late for the Packers to get what they could have gotten for Aaron Rodgers.
Receiver Devontae Adams seems to be accepting where this all may be heading. He tweeted, you got to appreciate what you got while you've got it. Maybe that's a message to himself, because that means he's accepting that Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be there, or maybe it's a message to the Packers and their fans. You got to appreciate Aaron Rodgers while you have it, because maybe Devontae Adams has come to the conclusion, like many others have, that Rodgers will never play for the Packers again. And I think that it would be so awkward at this point for Rodgers to come back. You can't just pull the Steve Urkel, did I do that? And walk through the door and act like everything's fine. That's not the way Aaron Rodgers is wired. He holds a grudge like no one else. He's not going to come back now. It's a matter of principle for him. Now, right or wrong, it's a matter of principle. He played along with them for a year. They trade up to take Jordan Love instead of investing those assets in making a Super Bowl team good enough to get to the Super Bowl instead of fall short. Again, he's an MVP, best player in the league. He gave him a chance to make amends. He gave him a chance to make what once was described when Donovan McNabb was benched in Philadelphia in 2008 in that offseason as a financial apology, something to make it right with Aaron Rodgers. And they didn't. They had 3 months to do it, and they didn't. And now they're playing high-stakes chess. And I think they're banking on Aaron Rodgers finding a way to come back because they believe he won't hold out. He won't give up a year of his remaining career. And one thing he could do that would make it the most entertaining if he did go back and just be kind of like Terrell Owens in Philadelphia in 2005, although not to that degree, but go back and just be an employee. Hey, I'm doing the bare minimum. Yeah. I'm not showing up early. I'm not staying late. I'm not coming for any of the voluntary stuff. I'm not going to come in on my off day and help get the game plan ready. I just work here. You're going to treat me like I just work here? Then, guys, I just work here. Don't expect anything from me over and above the bare minimum, period. I'm not going to exert leadership. I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to call the plays that you call. I'm going to throw the football to the open man, and I'm going to keep doing that over and over again, because if you guys don't care enough to put together a championship team, why should I continue to strive for that goal if we're not on the same page about trying to get there?
I do know this, Mike. They better be getting Jordan Love ready. They better be doing whatever they can to get Jordan Love ready to play. And I think if they thought Jordan Love was ready to play, that maybe they would have already moved on Aaron Rodgers, and they haven't done that. So whatever they have to do, this guy could be your starting quarterback this year. And we joked about that this week over the weekend when they drafted Amari Rodgers. Hey, Jordan Love has a new receiver. Hey, Jordan Love has a new center. But we'll see how this thing plays out. But they better be getting him ready just in case, Mike.
The Aaron Rodgers situation has gotten the attention of the betting markets. When we return, we'll talk about the impact the uncertainty has had on the available wagers that can or can't be made. We'll be back with more right after this.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, I got someone else who's going to give me more. Thanks.
That's new Broncos GM George Payton ending a call when some trade talks apparently were happening, and that's the way to do it. Hey, I don't like what you're offering. I'm going to get more from someone else. Now, he needs all he can get if he's going to eventually be in the running, Shireen, for Aaron Rodgers. I was told last week on Thursday when this was all blowing up that Rodgers' wish list, 49ers, Raiders, Broncos. And the momentum has pointed toward the Broncos, even though there were no negotiations at all between the Broncos and the Packers for that 9th overall pick in the draft. I really do think if a trade happens, it's going to be a post-June 1 transaction to lessen the cap hit that the Green Bay Packers would take. And if I'm a team that wants Aaron Rodgers, I can wait 31 more days to get – actually, it's 30 days. June 2 is 30 days from May 3, 31 days in May. I can wait to get Aaron Rodgers on June 2. But it's caused the betting world to take notice. The folks at PointsBet have removed both the Packers and the Broncos, but not the Raiders, from the over-under win total proposition. So they're off the board because they clearly think something could be up that would affect the Packers' win totals and the Broncos' win totals. And the only thing, obviously, that would affect both is a trade that would send Rodgers from Green Bay to Denver.
And you look at the Broncos Super Bowl odds, Mike, they've gone from 60 to 1 before all the Aaron Rodgers trade talk. At one point today, I think they hit, or one point over the last few days, they hit 13 to 1, something like that. And now I think it's somewhere around 20 to 1 last time I checked. So their Super Bowl odds also have changed. So there is some feeling that maybe Aaron Rodgers ends up in Denver. And how wild would that be, Mike, if they went on and won a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers after winning one with Peyton Manning at the end of his career? That would be pretty unbelievable to have John Elway, Peyton Manning, and Aaron Rodgers have won Super Bowls for you. I know that's a long way down the road. The trade hadn't even happened yet, but it would be an amazing feat to have all those quarterbacks having played for your team.
And when you think about the fact that Aaron Rodgers is only a year older than Peyton Manning was when Manning became the Broncos quarterback, and Manning was basically being held together by duct tape and glue at that point, Rodgers physically is fine. He's got 4 years left in him. I mean, that's what Manning gave the Broncos, four seasons. But it was four spectacular seasons. And they would do it again if they could, and they may be able to do it. The only difference is they got Peyton Manning for nothing, and it was only an $18 million contract, which was not top of the market at the time. But to have to trade something significant, that really becomes the question. And there's so many parallels between this and the Texans. Because once the Packers accept the fact that they are going to have to trade him, if they do accept it and they don't play hardball, what are they going to want? What are they going to get? Two first-round picks? Three first-round picks? What's Aaron Rodgers worth at this stage of his career? When you look at what the 49ers gave up to move from 12 to 3 to get a guy, maybe they would have gotten if they'd stayed at 12 anyway. They at least would have gotten one of the three guys that they were exploring when they moved up to number 3. They could have stayed where they were, but they gave up those extra two first-rounders for that. When you look at that, what value a quarterback has, it becomes interesting to see what the Broncos ultimately would do, and it would give the Packers some assurance that they wouldn't have to worry about dealing with Aaron Rodgers the way they would if he stayed in the conference. And that's one of the factors. Get him out of the conference, just like it was with Brett Favre. Get him out of the conference. And even though, as Peter King pointed out today, we would lose the Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers game this year, and it would, and it is complicating the NFL's effort to make a schedule of games because one of the best games of the season may go up in smoke, it gives you two Mahomes and Rodgers games if he lands with the Broncos. So as you play in the schedule, you need to factor in the possibility that we could double this intrigue and maybe both Broncos-Chiefs games get held for later in the season. Maybe one gets put in prime time and the other one gets put at 4:25 Eastern, because they both could end up being extremely compelling if this does happen.
Think about all the things that Aaron Rodgers has complicated, Mike. You talk about the betting market. We've talked about the NFL schedule. He's unsettled Packers fans. He's unsettled Matt LaFleur. That was a pretty great quote that he gave over the weekend about, can you imagine Aaron Rodgers not wanting to play for your team and suiting up for somebody else next year? So he's complicated a lot of things in the NFL right now, Mike, and all anyone is talking about is Aaron Rodgers. Where's his future? Where is he going to go? Is he going to come back to the Packers? And this is not going to end, it doesn't look like, anytime soon, Mike. So this could extend out another month, 2 months, however long it takes for the Packers to come to some conclusion about Aaron Rodgers' future.
I think he loves every minute of it, frankly. And I think that he and his camp will strategically continue to leak information to keep the fire burning. Just another log on it here, another log on it there, because it serves as an irritant to the Packers. And eventually that next log could be the one that gets Mark Murphy to say, let's just be done with it, or creates some sort of a groundswell. I talked about it today. You got Murphy. You got six other people on the executive committee. You got 40 people on the board of directors. You know, it's not like the shareholders can band together and have an emergency vote to trade or keep Aaron Rodgers or do whatever you have to do to keep Aaron Rodgers. So I just think that the more that he can irritate the Packers management, all it takes is one day that they say, let's just be done with this. We're sick of it. We accept it, and we're going to move on. All right, let's move on. We got some more NFL news after this, and then coming up in about 7-8 minutes, an extended chat with Vikings GM Rick Spielman. That's what's left on this Monday edition of PFT PM. We'll be right back.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, some other news from this Monday, first Monday post-draft. The NFLPA says it will negotiate to allow players to opt out of 2021 if they choose to do so. I really don't think many will, so why not give them that power to press pause on their career for a year if they want to do it conscientiously because of the pandemic? I really doubt that it'll be like it was last year, because if you're concerned about the pandemic this year, get vaccinated, get people in your family vaccinated. We've learned enough about it that it's not that same sense of uncertainty. We've learned enough about the protocols that there's a sense that in most facilities there is a sense of safety. So I remember last year when they negotiated the terms of the opt-out and how guys would be paid and how that would all work, they already have the mechanism in place for opt-outs this year. They just have to decide to do it. And if I'm the NFL, I think it's the right thing to do. If somebody does have that concern, go ahead and let them do it, because I think so few ultimately will.
Yeah, it may be even unnecessary, Mike. I don't see anybody opting out because, as you said, if you have a concern about COVID, you go get the vaccine, right? And you're good to go. So I think most guys will get the vaccine, and I think we'll see most facilities with players in there. But I'm going to be surprised if we have anybody opt out this year, Mike.
Yeah, if you're worried about yourself, get the vaccine. And if you're in a family situation where you have concerns that would cause you to not want to be exposed to the virus, there are ways to get them protected, like having them get the vaccine. And I just think that what the NFL managed to do last year with the joint protocols negotiated with the union, they created an environment that was safer than being anywhere else, safer than being at home, safer than going to a restaurant. And the other reality, I just feel like the world is moving on. Even though when you look around the world, it's disastrous in places like India and Brazil, our world, the United States, just, it's let's go. The attitude, right or wrong. And there isn't a damn thing that is going to change based upon whether I think it's right or wrong. It's just the reality. Let's go. And I got the vaccine, so, you know, off we go. And you got the vaccine, and people who really are concerned get the vaccine. Tom Brady, I don't know whether he's gotten the vaccine or not. He's the guy who said last year the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. He said on the NFL Draft-a-thon that he would trade 2 Super Bowl rings for a perfect season. Now, he'd get one of the Super Bowl rings back. I don't think he's given up 3 to get one. I don't know if it's a net 2 or just a 2-for-1. But obviously, perfect season is going to get him one of those Super Bowl rings back. I don't know that I believe it, but you know what it tells me? It tells me he wants a perfect season.
Oh, absolutely, Mike. He would love to see that. He's come so close to it, right? Going 16-0. I was there for that last regular season game when they beat the Giants, and there for the Super Bowl when they lost to the Giants. So came really, really close to getting it done, didn't get it done. You know that's how he perhaps would like to end his career. Maybe if he has a perfect season over the next 2 years, he walks away at that point. Maybe not, though.
They were 8-0 to finish the 2020 season, if you include their wins in the postseason.
Yeah.
27-game winning streak if they go 19-0 this year. When it comes to Tom Brady, I'm never betting against him. Could the Buccaneers be great this year, go undefeated? I wouldn't bet against it. Don't bet against this either. Rick Spielman joining me next here on PFTPM. Joining us now, general manager of the Minnesota Vikings. When we last spoke to him, free agency was approaching. Now free agency done, and the draft is done. And Rick Spielman is done with the bulk of his work, at least for now. But it's on to 2022, and it's Rick Spielman. Rick, welcome back. How are you, pal?
Well, good. Thanks for having me on today.
What do you do when the draft is over? What's your work day become?
Well, it's right now I've got some coaches' contracts. I got the whole football operations staff from a contract finishing their contracts. I got, doing some things on the business side, overseeing some guys that we have to bring in right now for our rookie mini camp. So there's just 100 things that are going on still, and it never seems to really end. You just shift your focus from the draft and free agency. Now you shift it over to more administrative things that you have to get done.
Of course, the rookie minicamp coming up in a couple of weeks. It's the first time you have players back in the building. I saw somewhere that the teams are limited to 5 tryout players, but it's still a healthy complement of players who will be there for a few days on the field practicing, right?
Yeah, it depends by each team on how many college free agents, how many draft picks. Also, if there's some teams from your or some players from your current roster that are still eligible to participate in this, that varies from team to team as well. I think we've always had about 60 guys out there because we had maybe 40 of them, 30 of them that is open tryouts. And that's how we would find an Adam Thielen or a CJ Ham or Marcus Sherrill's types. We found Chad Beebe out of one of those camps. Unfortunately, this year we can't do it. But the fortunate part is at least our coaches can get on the grass with these guys, start teaching them technique, especially with all the draft picks coming in and the college free agents coming in, where last year all we did was Zoom with them. And, our rookies didn't even know where the facility was till the first day they showed up at training camp. So hopefully this will help expedite their process and get our coaches start working with these guys.
I think back to how crazy last year was, and the Vikings, one of the teams that had very few, if any, fans at any point during the season, really took away that great home field advantage. What's the current anticipation of how many fans you think you'll have when September rolls around?
Well, we'll just wait. That's not our decision. It'll be, with Andrew Miller, our COO, working with the government. I know the Twins and the Wild are letting a certain amount of fans in right now. So we'll see what happens as it goes. I know the Timberwolves have some people down there. But hopefully it'll continue as people get vaccinated and this COVID comes under control a little bit more, that we'll be able to have close to hopefully full capacity or at least have fans in there. And the other thing I think is important is having fans here at training camp, because that gets everybody's juices flowing, from the players, from the coaches, and even the fans being able to participate and come out and watch training camp. But that's to be determined.
Until then, the draft gets a lot of fans' juices flowing. And let's pivot to that. Let me start with just very basically, I see grades starting to pop up in the media. Do you give a grade to your own draft? And if so, what grade would you give this year's?
I'm not smart enough to put a grade on these guys. I know how we feel about them, but it's like until we get out there and see them and, there's guys that'll surprise you that how quickly they're going to make an impact on this roster. Other guys, it may take some time to develop, but you don't know that until we actually get going. And I never put a grade as the kind of golden rule out there to see where they are 3 years from now. You know, guys can have some ups and downs for the first couple of years, and all of a sudden it's something sticks and they play well. But I just, like you said, I'm not smart enough as some of those draft pundits out there, I guess would be the term, like yourself, that can put grades on
me. Hey, Rick, I get the same grades every year. Everybody gets an incomplete for the reasons you just explained. Because we all know. We don't know. And it would be foolish to know. Do you think that we're getting any closer to the point where you can tell? You still can't. All the time, all the money, all the analytics, everything you put into it, you still don't know until you put the guy out on the field with other NFL caliber players, right?
Right. And some of these guys, you know, you haven't seen in over a year playing competitive football. Some of the guys that had opted out, you know, some of the guys we were able to see a little bit while they got a chance to practice down at the Senior Bowl. But some of these guys, the only thing we had to go off of was what they did at their pro day. And that's basically doing drills that are in the non-competitive situations. And that's why what Jim Nagy was able to pull off down there at the Senior Bowl and to see these guys in that atmosphere and setting was probably the last realistic look that we got at the guys that were at the Senior Bowl as far as what they're going to be potentially as football players.
Take me through how the mechanics go when you're on the clock at 14 and the Jets trade up and you trade down. Did you know before the draft even began that it was a possibility the Jets were going to give you a phone call and make you an offer in that 10-minute window?
No, usually where we were picking, and hopefully we're not picking that high again, because everybody's going to see how the board's falling and what players are potentially going to be there or not be there. It's hard to predict after the first two picks who else is going to be there. So most of the time, in my experience, and almost all the time, it's when you're on the clock is when you're getting the calls, or maybe a pick or two before. So there's a lot of communication going on. At one point, we had three teams on the phone at the same time, and everybody's throwing out different ideas and different scenarios. We have an automated system where I can see everything going on and whether, hey, let's just stick and take the player, or this trade's better than this trade. And that can be, I know when we had that scenario, this draft, there was 2 minutes left on the clock that a particular team was trying to trade up with us.
And even though you weren't there when it happened, I'm sure that's the last thing that the Vikings want to be attached to is the clock running out again, even though it was 18 years ago when it occurred.
And it ended up being a pretty good player. So I would
true.
Say,
true.
But true. No, you want to be prepared, and you just have to make a lot of split second decisions and just say, tell them, no, we're just going to take our player, or yeah, let's do that trade. You know, last year we were very active trading, you know, accumulated, I think, up 15 picks. This year, we only traded once the whole time in the first round. And then we were able to accumulate so many picks in those middle rounds, the third and fourth round, that we felt there were a lot of good players there that we wanted to take that could come in and help our ball club. Didn't feel the draft was as deep in the later rounds and in college free agency. So that's why we kind of stuck to, let's get our best players and the best players available in that middle round. Last year, there were a lot more players available, and we actually accumulated all those seventh round picks. And my philosophy there, whether right or wrong, was that's going to be our college free agency, because I don't know how this virtual signing players after the draft virtually is going to work. So the strategic thinking that goes in every year depends on the depth of the board, the amount of players on the board, and is how you kind of formulate what you're going to do.
What do you use to determine that you're getting the right value when you go from 14 to 23? I mean, the Bears had to give up next year's first rounder to go from 20 to 11. And I know it's a different dynamic, but still, how do you get it just right? That you know it's fair for you and it's fair for the Jets, and we're going to go ahead and pull the trigger and call this a trade that balances out with you picking up two threes, then picking up a fourth rounder, and you flip-flopping 14 and 23?
A lot of it is everybody has their trade charts, you know, but we try to really look at historical value of trades. Rob Brzezinski and our analytics team do a great job on the value and what historically has been given for that pick. The other thing we've really honed in on is looking at different buckets. So if you do trade and you trade out of, let's say, pick 1 through 7 is the same exact player when they become pros, and pick number 16 through 40 is the exact same success rate when they become pros. So we kind of work in buckets as we do all of our trading as we go through the draft, and not trying to trade down too far into a separate bucket. So there's a lot of different things that's really evolved since, you know, the first trade chart had come out, and the point system would come out. And so we're doing a lot of things based on historical value and how our analytics have come up with the buckets that we want to be in.
I know that a lot of cards get held close to the vest before, during, and after the draft. But did you get at 23 in Christian Darrisaw, the guy you would have taken at 14 if you hadn't done a trade?
I will say we were very excited to get Christian Darrisaw.
And all that that implies or doesn't imply. Let me fast forward to your next pick in round 3, because you didn't have a second rounder as a result of the Yannick Ngakoue trade, but you picked up a third rounder when you traded Yannick Ngakoue to the Ravens. Kellen Mond. First, I have a trivia question for you.
Okay.
The Vikings have drafted 26 quarterbacks since the team launched in 1961. When is the last time the Vikings used a third round draft pick on a quarterback?
Not during my time, not during the last 16 years. I know that for a fact.
Kellen Mond is the first third round Vikings quarterback since the first Vikings draft, when Fran Tarkenton was a third round pick out of Georgia. So big shoes already for Kellen Mond to fill, the first third rounder since then. What attracted
you? I'm writing that down right now. So I learned something from Mike Florio today.
That's the first time that's ever happened. What attracted you to Kellen Mond?
You know, we spent a lot of time on the quarterbacks this year. And the one thing that Kellen really, it really stuck out to us on his progression from his rookie year to what he did his second year. And then this year, I know, seeing him perform in that Florida game, you know, off the tape, and how he won a close game. Then he goes down and wins a big game in the bowl game against North Carolina, who had a lot of great players on that roster who got drafted this past weekend. And then you go down to the Senior Bowl, and it's the first chance we get to see him live and see how he kept ascending through this process and how well he played down at the Senior Bowl. We sent our coaches down to his pro day. Andrew Janoco, our quarterback coach, really liked his workout. In fact, I spent Thursday night and Friday watching his hour Zoom call again with our coaches and going through getting to know the kid. Because a lot of times this year, for me personally, I didn't get to talk to a lot of these kids because the month of March, I was traveling so much trying to get to as many pro days. But our coaches and our scouts and working together, I think we did over 200 Zoom calls this year, and we recorded them all. So I can go back when I got off the road or this time or when I had time in the evening to sit there and listen to these Zoom calls to get to know these kids, you know, because I'd never had an interaction with them except when I was down at the Senior Bowl. But his interview was very impressive, and our coaches think there are things that he needs to get corrected, but they're all correctable with coaching. And he has some really natural athletic skills. He can throw on the run, and he's a great scheme fit here for what we're trying to do.
When you say you did a lot of work on the quarterbacks this year, are you talking about the cut, that second cut beyond the top five, or are you talking about all of them up to and including the guys taken at the very top of the draft?
Well, I can tell you it's not just quarterbacks. We do that with every position. So because you never know what happens in a draft. So we try to put just as much time on the top of the board as we do in the later rounds. And the processes that we put in place, the amount of meetings, the when the coaches get involved and doing two different coaching meetings with them, you know, so I'm not going to say we put a lot of time in every year, not only on quarterbacks, but we've done that every year since I've been here. I think it's important that you have to do your work and your homework because you never know what's going to happen. And plus, you don't know what's going to happen down the road. So if there's a trade or you sign a guy or a guy gets cut, you already have all that information built into your system because you did the work when they were coming out of college.
I watched your press conference on Saturday after the Mond selection, Friday night rather, and you said that you had him right up there among the top quarterbacks. Where did he rank? Chris Sims was one of the few that had him at number four ahead of Justin Fields and Trey Lance. Where did he fall on your ranking of the quarterbacks in this draft?
Well, I'm sorry I didn't invite you, Mike, to see our draft board and the rankings at the position. But we felt, that where we got him, that we were very excited to get him.
Actually, I was just going to show up. I was just going to show up, knock on the door and say, let me in.
Now you passed your COVID test and MESA test and you were vaccinated, you could have had potential access.
Fully and completely vaccinated, baby, just like you. I saw your sticker on your lapel this weekend. The Mond pick at round three. When you take a quarterback, round one sends a message. Round two sends a message. Round seven, different message. Round three, as a Vikings fan who would be looking at this, trying to process, what does this mean? What does it mean? What would be your message to the average Vikings fan about what they should take from the fact that this third round pick was devoted on a quarterback that the team and the organization think highly of?
One, we're following our board, so he was the best player available at that time on our draft board, regardless of position. Two, I know we wanted Kirk's our quarterback, and we wanted to create competition with all our young quarterbacks, with Nate Stanley, with Jake Browning, and now with Kellen Mond, to have those guys all come in and compete and just see where it takes us.
Did you consider trading up into round two to get Mond?
I'm not going to say what we considered. It might have been Monning. It might have been 16 other players that we could consider trading up. You're always, I just tell you, we've been very, from a philosophical standpoint, we're always very proactive on trying to move up and down that draft board, regardless of who the player is.
I spoke to Kirk Cousins Super Bowl week, and he told me he wants to retire as a member of the Vikings, but he also made it clear that he feels no compulsion to extend a contract that runs through 2022, has a huge cap number next year, and as a practical matter, because he was tagged twice by Washington, he can't be franchise tagged in 2023. So he's got a lot of leverage there. How much of this choice was aimed at protecting yourself against the possibility that Cousins has two really strong years and commands top dollar and walks away in free agency?
You're always kind of looking at your roster and where it may be two or three years down the road, but that's hard to predict as much as you try to roster plan. So, every rookie that we draft, we're hoping that regardless of position that they're going to be here and whatever role they end up carving out, they end up helping the Minnesota Vikings, whether it be in a backup role, starter role, special teams role. So, we're just trying to put the best 53 players together and trying to bring in young competition every year to compete with the guys that are currently on our roster. And you're always looking down the road, but you don't know that until you get everything in the building and start working with these guys. And let's just see where we're at down the road.
You said the other night that you didn't contact Kirk Cousins before the pick was made, that that's not something that you ordinarily would do. Have you spoken to him since the pick was made of Kellen Mond?
Oh, yeah. No, I spoke to him Saturday morning, him, and talked to his agent and just let him know that we want to make sure we have competition behind him, that there's no doubt Kirk's our quarterback going forward, and that, we want to create competition to see who's going to be the backup. And, Kirk was great. He understands, and, he knows he's our guy. His agent knows he's our guy. So right now we're just focusing on getting ready for this season coming up.
Give me a quick assessment of where you think the defensive line is post-draft, given that last year, especially with Danielle Hunter injured, it seemed to fall off. Yannick Ngakoue didn't work out. You retraded him, as I mentioned earlier. Where's the pass rush and the defensive line right now?
We think we were able to definitely upgrade our defensive line. We were pretty proactive in free agency, signing Stephen Weatherly back, but knowing the depth of probably this defensive tackle market, that's why the Tomlinson signing was so important for us, and to get a Michael Pierce back, to get some of these young pass rushers, along with DJ Wanham, who we think has tremendous upside, and to add a Robinson and a Patrick Jones, We think there's going to be great competition there, and it's definitely going to help our pass rush. And when you can improve your pass rush, it sure does help the back end with the secondary.
Where do things stand right now with Danielle Hunter? Missed all of last year after neck surgery. Every once in a while, there's a flare-up as it relates to his contract. What's your expectation for him in 2021?
I think he's going to have an excellent, outstanding year for us. So looking forward to getting him back on the field along with all the other guys that we weren't able to play with last year. And I think getting all that gang back together along with the new additions in free agency and the picks that we had in the draft, very excited to see where this team is headed.
Last one for you, and I hate to say that because usually that means there's another one after that. But as it relates to the Aaron Rodgers situation in Green Bay, I'm curious from your perspective, when something like this goes down between a player and a team, whether it's him and the Packers, Deshaun Watson and the Texans, how closely do you pay attention to how it gets handled, how the players involved, the agents involved handle it, just for your own edification? If and when you find yourself in a similar predicament, you study how those teams handle it, because that may or may not influence you on how to handle a situation like that.
Well, the first site I go to is Pro Football Talk.
And read everything we say about it and then do the opposite.
No, I really, you know, you always read things and stuff like that. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is maybe the best quarterback that ever's played this game. And you know, I'm never going to talk about anyone else's players. One, I'm not allowed to. It's illegal. But you just always look at different situations. I always, you know, the most important thing is evaluating us and our decisions. And if we do make mistakes, how do we correct them, or what will we do differently? And if something works out great, what do we do well so we continue to do that? So my main focus is here on the Minnesota Vikings.
I remember last year they asked Coach Mike Zimmer about the Packers trading up to get Jordan Love, and he said, I hope they trade Aaron Rodgers. I think that's what they should do. I have a feeling Zimmer would say the same thing right now if he were to talk about it. Rick, it's great as always talking to you. Congratulations on getting through another draft, and all the best as you get the guys ready for the 2021 season, which, as always, will be here before we know it.
I appreciate you having me on. It's always fun to come on with you, Mike.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot, and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.